field, people will come. And it doesn't happen. You have to look at how you're doing business.
Welcome to White Sox Business, a podcast about Chicago's Southside baseball team, hosted by me, John Greenberg, and James Fegan, who is not, I can confirm, a candidate for White Sox manager or pitching coach. Subscribe to White Sox Business on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and check out James's and my work on The Athletic as well. We have a special $1 monthly promotion right now at theathletic.com/Southside. So, James, what's new? Did you get the answers you were looking for on Jimmy Lambert's health today?
It took a delay, but yeah, eventually. A couple of weeks from now, he'll be on a throwing program, and it'll be the middle Lambert child will be back in action. The thoughts and prayers were appreciated.
You and I wrote about Rick Renteria a ton in the last few weeks, you know, and I was moved to write a column from when they were in Cleveland on just the bullpen disaster that happened there. And, you know, like one thing I wrote, listen, I don't know a lot as people, as listeners of this podcast know, but I do know that for as, you know, nitpicky as fans get about managers' decisions, the guys in the front office booth or the seats or wherever they are absolutely worse. And they're operating at a different level. Like they still complain, like, you know, whatever, but they really have like a long list of stuff they don't like about me. No matter how good the manager is, front office has their complaints. And I knew after that Rick's clock was ticking after that series. I just didn't think the alarm would go off today.
Yeah, there was some sense that it was certainly a bad stretch, a bad 3 weeks even, but there was a sense or an expectation, I thought, that when cooler heads prevailed and when the dust settled, the flight landed home from Oakland, there'd be a bit more of a, you know, this was just like, you know, one bad stretch tactically. This is his first playoff endeavor. He'll learn from this. We're still going to fall back on the culture of the team that we tout time and time again as being the overriding thing, and you know the level of preparation he puts to everything. And yeah, he makes goofy moves, but he always has decent explanations for them post game and type of stuff that Rick said in the past. So he actually spent the first couple minutes of his presser talking about how it wasn't about those reasons and how it wasn't about what happened down the stretch. Whatever. And then he also said, like, well, what do you want from a manager? It's like, well, someone with playoff experience. Well, why would they need playoff experience, do you feel, Rick? Like, what of the last few things happened suggested that someone wasn't experienced enough? I have definitely watched enough playoff games with baseball people to know that they freak out about pitch count just as much as anyone else. But it was not a good sequence. And, you know, also it was probably a year, as difficult as it was, where maybe some of the things he hung his hat on about team culture, maybe that's getting exposed a little bit when, you know, Dallas Keuchel's rallying the troops in August to kind of get them out of their funk. And really what launched them on their hot streak, you know, not to, you know, attribute winning streaks at team meetings. And I don't love that level of analysis, but, you know, that's something that happened. And, you know, Jose Abreu saying they took their foot off the gas, after they clinched their playoff spot and kind of put themselves in a difficult situation. And then, you know, a lot of rookies have been great all year, seemingly tightening up in the big moment in the playoffs. Not a lot of evidence to suggest that everybody was in the perfect mindset all season long, on top of all the tactical hijinks that you are kind of account for.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, how about this? It was it's difficult for these guys to do these press conferences and because they're not going to tell you the truth. Rick's going to be like, well, these are the problems I had with Rick Renteria over the past few years. Let me list them in order and trash this guy on the way out. Because there's a level of tap dancing you expect. I thought Paul Sullivan did a great job saying, like, what the heck does mutually part ways mean? Like, Ricky didn't mutually say, I'm not a good manager, right? And like the same thing with Coop and then Don Cooper, who was also let go. And then there was this, Rick kept talking about these conversations they've been having for years on in a weird way of how this is going to work. Like, there was like a vague degree of like soothsaying, like, we know the future. So this is what's going to happen, Rick. We've seen the future in our crystal ball, and we're going to fire you. What the heck was he talking about with these conversations?
I don't really know, because at the same time he said, and as he's said in the past, that they had backed them. There have been questions before this. There were questions right. in 2018 about, is this the guy long term? And they had, you know, vouched, like said, absolute frickin' lootly on the record and off.
And almost, and almost like insulted that you asked.
Right. Like that it was like, it was some weird attacking angle to ask. So I definitely think that there was some sort of, you know, change in the past month or the past couple of weeks, or there's definitely something that pushed them over the edge that, or they felt was no longer workable. So and Ricky himself said that this was not the plan to have him step away. So I don't think it was anything like, you know, when we get to this point, when we go 35-25 in the shortened 60 game season 2 years from now, we will reach the idea that we need a new manager and, you know, hire AJ Hinch because he's going to be available due to a cheating scandal. Like that, I don't think it was that sort of plotted out.
Right. And that was another weird part where he's saying like, oh no, we've talked to Rick about how this is going to work, but we didn't expect to fire him. And no, it doesn't have anything to do with what just happened and the way we lost. Like, there was a, like a level of like, I don't understand what the heck they're talking about. But at the same time, I do understand.
By design, they didn't really seem to want us to know what the heck they're talking about.
Right. Throwing a lot. But at the same time, like, who's surprised they fired Rick Renteria? I mean, it's not like you fired, you know, this great manager and this like unbelievable guy who's been here forever and has had so much success. Rick Renteria, unfortunately for him, is, you know, is looked at as the point A to point B guy. You know, and I think we were all kind of just, there was a sense, and I think too, you know, because of what happened to him with the Cubs, there was a sense that they would follow that blueprint like they did with the rebuild, and that Rick Renteria would be replaced. And that was the thing that Han and Kenny and everyone always seemed so irritated about when you would ask, right? That like, how dare you suggest that, you know, we're just keeping him as a seat warmer.
Han literally said when they clinched the playoffs that he was happy for Ricky to maybe get somewhat removed from that notion that he had gotten that sort of rap in this town, and that this would be a nice payoff for him to kind of have this playoff team that he is helming. So, and that was, you know, with a week and a half left in the season, essentially.
Yeah. So it's very, very strange. Like everyone, it's like when, you know, to bring it back, not to bring it back to the Cubs again, but like, when Swaim, I think it was Sully, asked Theo Epstein, you know, what's the deal with Swaim's contract for next year? Is he coming back for sure? And Theo kind of tap danced around it. And then he got mad that it was made into a story. And then he revealed to us that, yeah, he knew he had like a talk with Swaim about like in midseason about this, and that surprise, the firing shouldn't have came as a surprise. So these guys do kind of get in their heads a little bit, you know, about what they're saying and what they're actually saying.
Yeah, and I get some part of it is like they really genuinely like Ricky and they don't want to do anything to poison the well for him going forward. I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know. Tigers are wacky, but I view probably unlikely that he gets another managerial gig, but I don't think it'd preclude him from being a bench coach or some sort of assistant on a rebuilding team. And they wouldn't want to, you know, do anything to kind of suggest everybody be hands off from him for that.
Do you think Rick Hahn was annoyed with the World Baseball Classic explanation?
I hadn't thought about that since the night I wrote it. It probably wasn't what he wanted to hear.
That was absolutely like you said, I'm glad he said it, because it was actually like the most introspective part of like him explaining his decision was, you know, using this example. I do think, no offense to the World Baseball Classic, which I think is always fun to watch, I do think when you're in the playoffs, using your World Baseball Classic experience as reasoning for a move you made is not the best move for any future managers out there. Like, no one cares what you did with Team Mexico versus Team Canada. Sorry.
I mean, Dane Dunning, 7 starts into his career, is basically like, you know, past his prime. Marco Estrada, I guess, a little bit.
Marco Estrada. Oh, man. The best part about that story in that game, though, is that game is only memorable because of a massive brawl that one of Ricky's pitchers started, a brawl that spread to the fans like in a movie.
was it Larry Walker with the quote of "I saw Satan in his eyes" or something?
Yeah. He was holding back one of the guys. He's like, "I saw Satan in his eyes." That is a juicy World Baseball Classic quote. If I've ever heard one. James, let's take a little break and then we'll be back. All right, let's move on for a sec to the other big news. How about this? We're asking, like, hey, I think Cheryl raised out. I was like, oh, what about some other coaching, you know, other coaching moves? He's like, oh, yeah, we fired Don Cooper, who's been.
Yeah, like 12 minutes into the presser.
That's wild that he waited, that Coop didn't even get a press release. Coop's been here since 2002.
I mean, he's been in the organization longer.
Right, since like 87, I think, right? Something like that. I think it was late 80s. I mean,
he was in player development for the longest time, which is, you know, maybe a preview of what they do in the future. But
I think he was there 15. I was looking at the one where he got promoted over Nardi Contreras, and I believe it said 15 years he'd been in the org.
Yeah, I mean, he had his fingerprints on a lot of, like, breakthroughs. 1988.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, 87.
I was born the year before.
Jesus, James.
Yeah. I think it's on one hand, like, how can you shop for, you know, Hinch or other level, or, you know, they're talking about themselves as a World Series contender, and that's where they should, and that's where they're shooting for their managerial job. How can you reasonably say, hey, you got to take on Coop, you know, such a guy? I don't think you really could. But yeah, it's a major step for him. They tried to kind of downplay that, you know, that there's a, you know, they've moved towards analytics for years now, and it's not just like, you know, a Coop dictatorship and pitching development or anything like that. It's not like going to completely upset the apple cart, but like that's a major, major thing.
Well, you've been writing about the changes that have been going on in the pitching development. I mean, it basically kind of seemed like Don Cooper wasn't exactly the first call that was made when every decision was going on, right? I mean, like, he covered
such an activity where he was not involved, yes.
Right, like the whole Michael Kopech thing. He sounded completely out of the loop. You know, you go back to Chris Sale when Coop said Sale was going to the bullpen on, like, someone's serious radio show. And then they had to come back and be like, no, he's not. Like, it was obviously something they were talking about. But, like, you know, it doesn't always seem like Coop recently has been, you know, he's in the inner circle, but maybe not, you know, running the show for pitching.
Yeah, not like absolute final say of, like, complete direction of where pitchers are going and stuff like that. And, you know, how Michael Kopech's opt-out is going to be handled and whatnot. And obviously, the stories of someone at the major league level having a major turnaround or some sort of breakthrough that's all about some bullpen session with Cooper, you know, that's not become a very common story of the last 5 to 10 years. I don't think it's, you know, so many players have their own private coaches and their own private stuff that they do that I don't think it was specifically a you know, a knock against him for Giolito to have his big turnaround without him. And certainly both him and his father both talked about how good Coop was on the mental side for that. But right. It wasn't having these kind of mechanical or arsenal breakthroughs at the major league level anymore. And yeah, that's not necessarily a huge negative, but it's no longer this, you know, he's irreplaceable type of situation.
Right, and Coop was always known for that, right? That was always his number one strength. Besides teaching the cutter was the mental side of things. And I think that goes back to, you know, even the heydays of, you know, of 2005 and that era. They always said that Coop was great on the mental side.
Right, and a lot of times the mental side is what's holding people back from throwing strikes consistently. And you're not seeing a lot of the young guys who are struggling to throw strikes consistently start throwing strikes consistently.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a great point. This is a big change. Who do you like? And when I asked Han about it in the Zoom call, I was, my original question was the Aussie question and the Hinch, Cora question. I had a little two-parter plan, James. And then, Jesse Rogers asked it. And that's when Rick answered all those questions. So I switched I switched it up. Who do you think, when Han answered it, he said, you know, don't discount people inside the organization. Who do you think gets it from inside the organization?
I think that specifically referred to Everett Tiefert and Matt Zaleski. I'd probably lean towards Zaleski a little bit because he's more the traditional like pitching coach, and Tiefert has kind of such a wide impact on the organization's like overriding pitching philosophy. At the same time, major league pitching coach pays more than, you know, minor league pitching coordinator. So I think it'd probably also be about which one they pick, because even if Tiefert might be more valuable as your pitching coordinator, you know, I imagine it'd be hard for him to say no to that kind of opportunity.
Well, no, of course, James, no one takes the minor league pitching coach job and said the major league pitching coach job. What are you talking about?
Right. Yes.
Literally never happened. Matt Zaleski also fits because he was drafted by the White Sox.
Yes. But I think he's, you know, you could probably run through half the staff currently, at least the internal guys, and have them say something about how Matt Zaleski helped them at some point, because all those guys who passed through Winston-Salem and or Kannapolis and dealt with him, he's someone who you see adding, not doing these huge overhauls, but, oh yeah, Matt Zaleski showed me his grip on the changeup. Oh, Matt Zaleski cleaned out my delivery a little bit. Oh, Zaleski and I, he gave me a little key that helps me get me right. He's kind of a guy who has that relationship Coop used to have with the staff, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
It's great too, because he was in the 2004 draft. So the Gio Gonzalez draft, he could be, if they brought Gio back, he could be, that draft would really have proven to pay dividends for the organization.
All right. I have obviously today threw some of my predictions, out of whack. I feel confident in the Gio Gonzalez not coming back prediction.
Okay. All right, let's pause right here and then we'll finish up the show. Give me some manager predictions then.
Beyond Hinch?
Beyond AJ Hinch. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, Rick was like laying on pretty thick with the recent World Series experience. Maybe a name, you know, that's shortened. Maybe he went to Stanford. Maybe he's currently suspended because everyone hates him in baseball.
Right.
Who else?
I mean, by the same measure, if you're talking to punished, suspended for cheating at baseball, you know, Alex Cora is obviously very talented and very gifted. He did say he got asked another great, good Cheryl question was like, they spent a lot of time talking about how good it was to have a bilingual manager with Rick Renteria. And Cheryl asked him about that, getting that again. And it was all like, well, it's important for someone on the staff to be able to communicate.
Right. It's important bilingual. When the guy we hire and promote is bilingual, to stress how important it is to be bilingual. Otherwise, not that important.
But yeah, it didn't seem like a big, oh, Sandy Alomar is now going to have this big lead because of this anymore. Yeah, all of a sudden, it's a little deprioritized.
That's a good name, though, because Sandy Alomar managed Cleveland into the playoffs. Not that, you know, anything great happened, but, like, you know, he did kind of get his experience this year that he's been looking for. And I know
he had a better final 2 weeks of the season than Renteria did.
Seriously, you didn't notice him. Isn't that, when you're the interim, I think it's a good thing when you're the interim manager and people forget that, like, the main guy's not there. That's a good sign, right?
I noticed him high-fiving in the dugout after another Jose Ramirez walk-off, after night in Cleveland.
I remember actually when he thought he was a candidate for when Robin got the job, right? And I think they talked to him, but they never interviewed him, I believe. Like, I think they might have checked in on him. And I remember talking, and I was at ESPN, I was talking to Doug Padilla about it. And literally as I was talking on my door on Damon Avenue, Sandy Alomar walked by me with a Lululemon bag because he lived like across the street in a really nice house.
Lululemon is what the kids wear nowadays.
It is. Well, this was like 2000, like what, 11? So kids are still wearing it. But and then he did get the interview for the Cubs job, and we talked to him. You know, we did those like weird. That was actually really fun when like they let us interview managers. The final four prospective managers, we had like mock press conferences, and someone joked that I screwed Alomar up because I asked him about analytics and he was just like, it's important, but yeah, and they went into a whole thing about managing by your gut and experience. And someone's like, wow, you really fucked him there. But yeah, so I think he should be a candidate. They should talk to him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, why not? It's funny you talk about gut because I ultimately feel like, you know, Renteria made reference to that too. Like, you know, the numbers are important, but sometimes you have to go with instincts and observations and whatnot. And sure, but when you go that route and we have to kind of trust your intuition, you know, the only real way to evaluate you is whether your shit works. And
right,
shit wasn't working the last 3 weeks. And I feel like kind of if we're trusting him to have intuition, what can we go off of other than the team kind of fell flat at the end of his best opportunity?
No. I wonder if Alex Cora goes back to the Red Sox. That was the first thing I thought when they let go of their interim manager, is that because they seemed like they were really kind of like upset they let him go. And then the fact that, like, wasn't Dave Roberts implicated too? Who else was implicated that the team's just like, yeah, we're not doing that. We're not firing our manager. Was it Robert?
I don't think so.
I mean, I know people have accused the Dodgers of doing it.
And yeah, but I don't baseball think that was... have.
I feel like someone didn't get fired that was, like, you know, in the periphery of that investigation.
Like, the fact that, like, the Astros retained other part of their assistants, like Alex Cintron and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking about it too much. But, you know, I feel like Hinch had to go. Obviously, that was a no-brainer. You know, did Cora have to go? I guess, but I felt like he was scapegoated a little bit of it. So I think he goes back to Boston. I think, but they don't know. They don't care. Boston, like, they care less. It'll be interesting to see who else is, like, besides Hinch, they go to. I mean, will someone like Sam Fold, right? He was a popular name in the analytics crowd. Would he be someone they consider?
You know, I guess why not? Is that, like, his goal to be a manager is ultimately the question, if he just wants to be a front office dude.
I think everyone, if you're offered the manager job, pretty much takes it, right?
It seems like it sucks from this angle. I don't know. Like, I know it's a lot of money.
Right. And it's not as good as it used to be because the control is, you used to be, you know, the guy in control.
Yeah. It just seems like hell on earth.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. But, you know, I think these guys all, some of them don't want to, you know, like Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer didn't want to do it because they don't want they like their job stability. But I think there's a lot of people, anyone that's put a uniform on wants to do it again, right? So who else do you think, like, who are other candidates around the league? I wasn't even, like, prepared for this.
Yeah, I haven't thought it through much beyond the obvious signal. I mean, I'm sure there's, like, assistants that you could peruse from all the top teams that are noteworthy. Like, I mean, surely Dave Roberts is somebody on his staff of renowned. I mean, I know the Rangers just picked away Chris Woodward, but I don't know. What's Jose Valentin up to?
Right. Josh Bard.
Sure.
Bob Guerin, his Dave Roberts bench coach. How about Brant Brown? He's familiar here.
Great.
Mark Pryor, pitching coach Mark Pryor.
Yeah, I mean, he's having success. I don't know if you'd probably have to promote him to peel him away, so I don't know if that would necessarily be ready for that.
Right, like Tampa Bay Rays coaching staff.
They've already had such a brain drain, I feel, though.
Yeah, Matt Quattaro, the bench coach, you don't see him.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty highly thought of, though, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he made the interview rounds last year.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be – I mean, Rick, you know, specifically said, and then when he got maybe a little annoyed because we kept bringing it up, but they were going to break out of their insular kind of philosophy, like, not just a guy that Kenny Williams liked as a player, you know.
Yeah, Kenny's insular got a workout.
It did. And then I think at one point Han was like, yeah, I know some people have said we're being insular, but, like, no, you said that. That was yours, and we just brought it up. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, like I said, this is, you know, you and I aren't shocked, but at the same sense, the timing of it has thrown us for a little bit of a loop. And you and I need to get to work working on our stories. So I think we will shut it down here. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Please make sure to listen, download us, like us, do all the little ratings things that help us, you know, share this with your friends.
Feed us, clothe us.
I guess White Sox business. We thought it was going to be a sleepy time for White Sox business, and now they got us working again, James. Just when you thought we were out, they pull us back in.
Well, at least I don't have to write just 1,000 words on Jimmy Lambert's forearm. I have a bit more material.
Yeah, save 750 max. All right, thanks everyone for joining us. We'll talk to you probably pretty soon with more White Sox business.